is a commercial-free, streaming-on-demand presentation from WBPN.
In April of 1964, fate brought together a rhythm section of a drummer who soloed throughout each song and a bass player who destroyed previous ideas of how to play the bass. Their guitar player would whip his arms around windmill style while playing, and at the end of a show, destroy his axe. He would write songs that became rock anthems. The vocalist was the only one who could match the power of this band and the majesty of its music live while whipping his microphone around like a lasso at the end of its cord. He is now considered one of the greatest rock singers ever. Yeah! Audiences would flock to see them live. The band I'm talking about, of course, is The Who. Their concerts were incendiary, whipping the fans into a frenzy. Through the decades, they introduced us to songs of frustration. The concept of a rock opera.
See me. Feel me. Touch me. Feel me.
Concerts as theater and music as a method of healing psychological scars and challenges. Along the way, they've also raised millions of dollars for many causes like autism and teenage cancer. The Who have sold over 100 million albums, and millions have paid to see them in concert. In 2019, The Who embarked on their Movin' On tour with an orchestra behind their normal lineup. 28 North American shows played to ravenous Who fans. The critics raved. In the middle of these concerts, the band played an emotional show on July 6th at Wembley Stadium. The second and third legs of their North American concerts were supposed to start on September 25th, but all of those shows got canceled because of COVID. Here's Pete Townsend in 2021.
There's a lot of people going to hate me for saying this. In 2019, I had a novel to publish called The Age of Anxiety, and I'd finished the Who album with Roger, and I knew that they were coming out, but they were separated by 3 months or 4 months. And what actually happened was is that the Who album was brought forward and the book release was put back, and so they were only 3 weeks apart. And by the time I'd finished the PR on both of them, I was close to having what I suppose, you know, pop stars call a nervous breakdown. You know, I was just screwed up. I was exhausted. I kind of reached breaking point. And I think when COVID happened in March, the Who were about to do a UK tour, followed closely by an American tour. And I was thinking, I don't know that I can do this. So when COVID hit, I thought, thank you, God.
Oh,
but now I'm, you know, I'm like everybody else. I'm climbing the walls. You know, I would, you know, I'm close to going and doing some busking.
Pete was not always keen for The Who to tour with an orchestra. It was a long-time burning desire for Roger Daltrey.
This conversation with Pete goes back 38 years. I've always heard Pete's music as orchestrated music. It's got so many rhythms and melodies going on in it, so many changes. It's not rock and roll, it's rock music, but it's written in a classical form. So I've always heard it with an orchestra. And in 1994, I did a thing called Daltrey Sings Townsend at Carnegie Hall, and I took that out on tour with a rock band, a full rock band, making the noise that a full rock band can make when they're good, and put it with orchestras. It was financially terrible, but it was fabulous to do. So I've had that dream for ages, and I was asked to go and play with my band with orchestras with Tommy. And I really enjoyed that too. And it kind of brought it up to date for me. As here I am coming on, you know, next year for 79 years old. I'm singing better than I ever have in my life. And it feels like the music's come of age. It hasn't lost any of its power. In fact, it's gained it. And there's something about when you hear the sounds that Pete did on synthesizers with extra arrangements done on instruments, real, you know, instruments that vibrate. There's something in the way it connects to an audience that cannot be done any other way. And that's the magic of music. It touches us, it moves us in a way that only music can. So it's a dream come true for me. You know, Pete was skeptical at first, but as soon as he got on stage and he heard it, it fired him up, and he still plays the same kind of guitar at the same volume. The band has the same power, but it's got this other sound to it that gives the music a whole new texture, which is, it's not squishy, it's not sludgy, it's punchy, huge, and it moves you.
The long postponed Who dates are all set to move you starting on October 2nd in Toronto through Saturday, November 5th in Las Vegas for a total of 16 more chances for you to see one of the greatest rock bands ever in concert. Over the next hour, Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend will give you a sneak preview of what they're calling the Who Hits Back Tour.
Hi, this is Roger Daltrey. Welcome to the Who Hits Back 2022 North American Tour. All access.
We'll be right back.
Who, the title piece of their album, Who Are You? So, after 38 years of resisting Roger's pleas to play with an orchestra, why did Pete finally give in? Roger Daltrey.
Because I wouldn't go out without it. No, I am joking. No, I think he looked at the success of that Tommy thing that I did around the outdoor venues on the East Coast in 2018, and he saw the kind of crowds that it was pulling in and the reviews that it got. And I think he just felt more comfortable, and he is more comfortable with it at the age we are, because we haven't got the circus with us now, we haven't got the glamour, but the music is fabulous. And he still plays some of the best rock guitar that's out there. You know, for me, he's still the most original one of the lot of them. And if you've never seen Townsend play a guitar, or let's put it this way, beat a guitar up, you should go and see it, because we're not going to be around forever. And it's just wonderful to see those old bands. There's something about them that we played as though our life depended on it, and we still do.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man behind blue eyes. No one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. But my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. I have hours only lonely. My love is vengeance that's never free. What it's like to feel these feelings like I do, and I blame you. No one bites back as hard on their anger. None of my pain and woe can show through. But my dreams, that's never free. When my fist clenches, crack it open before I use it and lose my cool. When I smile, tell me some bad news before I laugh like a fool. And if I swallow anything evil, put your finger down my throat. And if I shiver, please give me a blanket. Keep me warm, let me wear your coat. The bad man, to be the sad man behind blue eyes.
The Who, with Behind Blue Eyes, off The Who's next masterwork in 1971. We'll have some news about that album at the end of this show. If you're a longtime Who fan, You know, Pete is legendary for making outrageous statements about how he feels about playing live. Here's what he said last year.
I'm probably not in an average place. You know, I don't have a regular job, so, you know, the only part of it I would have missed would have been touring if I liked touring, and I don't, so I didn't miss it. I miss the people, though, very much. I miss the people that we work with, and I miss the people that I meet, people like you, who I don't see at all if we don't tour. So, but I've had time in my studio. I've been working on a number of things, working with other artists in the periods when we haven't been in lockdown, and, you know, doing creative stuff, but, you know, a lot of studio building, sort of train set stuff.
Here's how Roger reacts to Pete's statements throughout the years.
He's been saying that rubbish for 40 years. You know, what's wrong with him? He's kind of got this passive-aggressive thing that he does. I mean, it's almost like he's shooting himself and the band in the foot all the time. And he's been saying the same thing. I don't want to go on tour. And yet you see him out there, and he's having the time of his life. It's a nonsense. So I just think, oh, he's having a hissy fit. I take no notice of it. I take no notice of it at all. You know, completely take no notice of it. But it just gets a bit wearing, because I just wonder, you know, people reading it who don't know what he's like and the fact that he's been doing it, saying the same thing for 40 years, you know, they might just go, well, I don't really want to go and see a show where someone doesn't want to be there. So the whole thing's a nonsense. I treat it as a nonsense. Well, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that a lot of people that are out there, and the Who haven't been out there, really, when you look through our career. We've been out there a lot, but we don't do that many shows compared with some bands. And I think when bands overwork and do too many shows, you can get nights where they dial it in. I do have to say, honestly, that even when my voice wasn't very good and I had the problem, I never, ever dialed it in. I gave everything I had to get it out there, you know. And I know Pete did. Can you see the real me? Can you? Can you?
Please.
powerhouse crackling off of The Who's Quadrophenia album and a song you'll most likely hear if you grab a ticket to The Who Hits Back 2022 North American Tour, The Real Me.
We had to go to a grand jury there and everything, and it just felt, you know, what lawyers are like. It felt like they were accusing us.
That's next when The Who Hits Back 2022 North American Tour All Access takes you backstage again in just a few minutes.
These are more than just great songs. To us, they're intricately interwoven fabric that binds our lives together. Kind of like your daily vitamin booster. It keeps you going. 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Hi, this is Roger Daltrey. Welcome back to The Who Hits Back, the 2022 North American Tour, All Access once again. Your host, Dan Neer.
Thanks, Roger. When The Who started their Who Hits Back tour in the spring of 2022, things were more challenging this time out.
It was a different experience this time because we had to be in kind of isolation and everybody had to test all the time. What a load of rubbish that was. But when you got on stage, you know, on the East Coast especially, there were nights there, you would have thought it was pre-pandemic. Madison Square Garden, Boston Garden, Philadelphia, all those great cities. It was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. It was like we've never had a pandemic. Everybody was just having a great, no one was wearing masks. We've got to live with this thing, you know. If it's going to take us, it's going to take us. We have to just accept it. It got very lonely at times because we only do 3 shows a week now. It's the only way to deliver a great show every night when we do a show. So that's 4 nights a week off. And those days in May were very long days at times. But equally, you get through it. You knuckle down. You're doing your job. You're going out there working, and we were just thankful to have the audience there for us. It was wonderful to see old faces, new faces. It was wonderful to be able to do a show in Cincinnati for scholarships for young people way into the future, in memory of the 11 fans that we lost in 1979. So all that, it was just a very rewarding in more ways than just financially.
We'll be fighting in the streets with our children at our feet. In the morrows that they worship, we'll be gone. And the men who spurred us on sit in judgment of our wrong. They decide and the shotgun sings the song. I'll tip my hat to the news.
Who from Who's Next, a concert staple. Won't get fooled again. Roger just mentioned the band played in Cincinnati on the previous leg of the Who Hits Back tour. When the group played Riverfront Stadium on December 3rd, 1979, 11 people between the ages of 15 and 27 were crushed to death because, for some unknown reason, only two doors were open to let in a sellout crowd of 18,348. 26 other people were injured. The Who were completely devastated. It took 40 years for the band to return there. Roger Daltrey.
I, in particular, and the Who have supported a foundation from Pennytown, Ohio, that they lost three students way back in 79. And they've run this scholarship scheme in the memory of the three students they've lost. And I went to visit them in 2018, I think it was. And I was really impressed with the work they've done. We supported their memorial for a long time, but we had a very difficult time with Cincinnati because, as you know, there were certain areas of governance that were kind of trying to make it out that it was our fault. What went on there, that terrible night, was the band's fault, and it really was not. It was wonderful to have the opportunity to go back to Cincinnati with a mission to do something that will carry the memory of those 11 fans way into the future. That is 11 scholarships a year being given by the foundation that's dishing out the money. And it just meant so much. It was great to be welcomed in a brand new football stadium, even though it was a very difficult gig to play because the bleachers, because of COVID, couldn't be sold as tickets. So we were playing to this great big empty gap at the back of the audience. But it was still a great show. And of course, in Love Rain or Me at the end, we brought up pictures of the ones that were lost that terrible night. And that was incredibly emotional. But it's great to remember, and it's great to, you know, think, yeah, that happened. And out of that terrible night, something good has come. Hopefully concerts and bands will never have to go through what we went through, although it has happened, and it happened recently. It's happened to a lot of people, and it shouldn't. We had to go to a grand jury there and everything, and it, you know, it just felt, you know what lawyers are like, it felt like they were accusing us. And to be honest with you, it was our manager, Bill Kirbishley, that prevented possibly more people dying. The fire marshal wanted to close the show down. And our manager, Bill, said, if you do that, you'll have the crowd coming out over what you're trying to clean up here. It was an absolute disaster. But equally, there were certain people, I can't name who they were, you'd have to talk to Bill about that, but in Cincinnati, they knew what had gone on, and they were totally supportive of us. And that meant a lot.
I'm
recorded live on February 14th, 1970 at Leeds University from The Who, Live at Leeds, I Can't Explain. The Live at Leeds album reached number 4 in the United States on the Billboard music charts and number 3 in the UK charts.
You know that the only way it's going to end is you're going to have to get round a table and talk. So the sooner it happens, the better, because they're killing each other's children. Well, that's next when The Who hits back. All Access returns. This is Roger Daltrey. Stick around.
Hi, this is Pete Townsend, and now a word from our sponsor.
If you've had great food today, thank a farmer. If you got products that keep you healthy and clean, thank a truck driver. If you lived your life today in peace, thank the people in our armed forces. If your neighborhood is a safe place, thank your police department. If you're healthy, thank your doctors. And if you're enjoying this hour of music from WBPM, you can thank us by telling your friends about us, because they'll enjoy it too. 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Thanks for coming back for the final segment of the Who Hits Back 2022 North American Tour, All Access. I'm Dan Neer. Roger Daltrey is the one who makes up the set list when The Who play live. There are many times when Pete famously raises an eyebrow when going over it with his bandmates.
It is a fact, it has to be said. He just doesn't dedicate as much time to thinking about the shows as I do, and it's as simple as that. And I like to listen to what the fans say, you know, just get an idea of, well, we've never done that one live, and let's give it a try and see how it goes down. And it's just a matter of stretching yourself out a bit, even if it's only for 2 songs a night. It's that little thing that just keeps it fresh. You know, Pete tends to pay too much attention to his negative side, and he should just go for it. I've always said to him, Pete, no one gives a damn about the first row. You know, there's a whole load of people out there. Don't keep arguing with them. Just give them what they want. Just have a laugh. Everybody loves it when you're having a good time. It's just a matter of homework. When I met with my band, how I did it, I just said to everybody, learn those songs and we might call them up. But you will know them when we do. And it doesn't matter if there's a few little glitches. You just stop and have a laugh and then get it right. It makes the show more personal to people. It's not like on rails. And I love that. I just love that. I'm not trying to stop a track in the middle if it's too fast. I just say, right, start again, let's do it again. It doesn't matter. And people, they never remember the perfect show. They remember the ones that cock up. And then it was fun. So that's my attitude to the stage now in this, hopefully it's an age of wisdom. And that's the whole attitude it should be. That's how we started and that's how we should carry on. Otherwise, it becomes like a full-time clock-in, clock-out job.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a lead pinball. He stands like a statue without spot of a machine. Beat all the bumpers, always playing green. Plays by intuition, the digit counters fall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a lead. Don't see no lights flashing. Plays by sense of smell. He always gets a replay. Never tilts at all. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a lead pinball. I thought I was the dining table king. I just handed my pinball crown to him. Even I'm up in the table, he can be my best. he sounds me in, and he just does the rest. That crazy for the fingers, never seen him fall. That death don't die again. Sure plays a mean pinball.
Roger Daltrey and his band, accompanied by the Juilliard Orchestra, conducted by Michael Kamen at Carnegie Hall in New York City on February 23rd and 24th of 1994. It was a ballsy move, and it worked to perfection, inspiring the Who Hits Back tour about to begin its third leg on October 2nd in Toronto, Canada. So, what are Roger's favorite songs to sing with the orchestra?
I enjoy them all. I haven't got the most, or I enjoy them all, and I try and find new things in them. Some are harder than others. When I'm in good voice, I love singing "Love Rain on Me." There's something in that song that is—it's just so powerful. It touches everybody. It's the only one I'm kind of bored of, mainly because of it's stuck to a synthesizer track, and there's lots of breaks in the vocal. Won't get forward again. I like it when we do it just Pete and I acoustically, but with the track, I mean, I still do it, but it's the only one I sometimes go, no, I wish there were some more words. Because the Who was never a band where you had 20-minute guitar solos, ever. Maybe the nearest we got to that was Live at Leeds, of course. But we were never that kind of band. It was all there was hardly any long solos with Who. It was all words, 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 words. And then Won't Get Forward Again, as you know, there's these kind of 12-bar breaks, 16 bars sometimes.
Only love can make it rain the way the beach is kissed by the sea. Only love can make it rain of lovers laying in the fields. Love, rain on me. Love, rain on me.
Rain on!
emotional, powerful song that'll blow you away if you snag a ticket for the Who Hits Back 2022 North American Tour. Love, Rain or Me, off Quadrophenia. Unfortunately, that is the last song we've got time for, but let's let Roger Daltrey bring us up to date on all things Who to come. Pete's working on a Who's Next box set. Roger has an announcement coming soon regarding his Keith Moon movie, and here's what he says is up with The Who in 2023.
At the moment, nothing, but there will be something. We don't know what. It's very difficult to make long-term plans at the moment because no one knows quite how this winter's going to pan out. But I mean, it's all a bloody nonsense. We need people to start talking rather than fighting each other. We need people to come together rather than dividing the society down the middle. It's just crazy. It's incredibly depressing. Most people are really up to their neck in just going, oh, go away. You know, it's just, the trouble is, you know, like the war in Ukraine, the first casualty of war is the truth. And of course, once you start back in one side of a war, then you think, hang about, are we being told the truth? Is this going on? Is that going on? It's become so difficult because, you know, it becomes a battle of egos in the end, doesn't it? It really does. And what they, you know, that the only way it's going to end is we're going to have to get round a table and talk. So the sooner it happens, the better, because they're killing each other's children. It doesn't need to happen in the modern world. It really doesn't. There must be something better. We're better than that. But it gets lost in the news, and when the war started, you know, Ukraine was quite happy to sit around a table and talk. Now they don't want to. So it hasn't got better, it's got worse. I don't want to get involved in it because it's too political. And like I say, all I do want to say is it's about time they started talking and stopped killing each other's children.
You can buy tickets right now for the Who Hits Back 2022 North American Tour at Ticketmaster.com. The Who Hits Back 2022 North American Tour All Access was written, recorded, and produced by Near Perfect Productions for Live Nation, all rights reserved. No portion may be reproduced without the written permission of the producers. Special thanks to Penny Guyon of Firefly Media, Bill Kirbishley, Robert Rosenberg, Jules Broom, and Nicola Joss of Trinifold Management, Steve Herman, Carla Jesperson, and Monique Sawinski from Live Nation, and Todd Nakavini and Sujata Murthy from UME. I'm Dan Neer.
And I'm Pete Townsend.
And I'm Roger Daltrey. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.